It's laundry day in Quartzsite, Arizona, the land of the nomad. And so it's laundry day for the nomads. They're all here. A lot of people I camp with are here. People from all the other places. There's always a great smattering of rigs. And I don't even know the name. I've just realized I don't even know the name of the laundromat that I'm going into. I just know that this is the laundromat with the $10 shower. So I'm going to go in, do my laundry, and then I'm going to do the $10 shower. But it is an opportunity to do a quick podcast. I don't think I've done a podcast like this. My friend Don Andrew suggested that I answer some questions, and some basic questions about being a nomad and what it's like out here. And some of this stuff I've covered in other podcasts, and some I may have not. So we're going to do that in podcast 1033, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I want to say thanks for the donations recently to the BobDavisPodcasts.com. If you want to, you know, help out, if you want to help out with fuel and firewood, that would be great. You can do it by simply making a donation to the Bob Davis Podcast. You go to the BobDavisPodcast.com, look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, scroll down just underneath that. There's a big yellow donate button. Click on that, takes you to PayPal, and you can do whatever you want to do, and I appreciate it. I've had some big time donations recently. Jeffrey Dunn, thanks for $200. John Holland, who's actually going to visit me out here next week, so hopefully we'll do a New Year's podcast. John and I, many years in radio apart, went to high school together, and so it's kind of cool to have him around to talk. We were telling old radio stories, and he said, well, we'll talk about that when we get around the campfire. And I go, yes, and we will savage all of them. So I'm looking forward to John coming. We'll do a podcast. Thanks for $200. And thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Instagram, and especially LinkedIn, which is really starting to help, doing some videos for LinkedIn, and that's kind of fun. And again, thanks for your donations for the Bob Davis Podcast, available on iTunes. Spotify is a great platform. Google Podcasts, Alexa, Audible, and pretty much everywhere, and off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Happy New Year from the folks at Depot Star. This is the company with the inventor's heart, the manufacturing company with the inventor's heart. Mark Korn, who started that company, started it because he wanted to manufacture something he had invented. So if you've invented something and you want to manufacture it in the United States, not a bad idea these days. This is a guy who can really help you and understand what you're trying to do. If you are considering American manufacturing, look no further than Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. So as I do my laundry, sitting here on the plastic chairs, I'm going to answer some questions that Don has assembled, I would assume, from not just himself, but some of the other guys he works with in the oil fields over in Texas. And by the way, it is a cold. It's been cold here in Quartzsite, so this is when you do all this stuff. You try to do your laundry, you try to stay in your truck and hope that it warms up. The desert can be very cold at night and actually very cold during the day if the wind is up. You have a little sun. Now, it's been cloudy the last couple days. You have some sun, it warms things up, but it's been in the 50s with a great deal of wind and clouds. So everybody's just happy to be in here where all of the dryers are keeping everything warm. And I wish they would close that door up there. All right, first question. Sitting by all these campfires, do you smell of smoke? Well, yeah. Yes, you do. But I burn juniper, so it's good wood, and the clothes smell like juniper, too. So my clothes, you know, everything gets inundated with the smell of smoke, which never bothered me. I can remember coming home when I was in Boy Scouts from camps, you know, campouts on the weekends, and I would love the smell of smoke on my clothes. I thought it was just great. And so, yeah, that's why I'm doing my laundry. And that's why you have to wash blankets and literally everything you can wash, you want to wash at least, you know, as often as you can. So you keep the smell of smoke. But, yeah, I have a campfire every night. Not everyone does. In fact, there's a lot of people out here who don't have campfires. I have one every night and I don't care what it costs, because it's the essence of to me, a campfire is the essence of camping. So we are camping, and I'm going to have a campfire come hell or high water. One of the questions was whether I have an opportunity to save on firewood. Well, I go to, I think it's called Woodside. It's right at the bottom of the bridge on 95 in Quartzsite between the town and then the long-term visitor areas up the ways. And there's usually a big pile of wood there in season. And those guys are great. And I get my wood from them. And the juniper is the most expensive, so it's $10 a box, but they're big boxes. They're bigger boxes than you would get. So Safeway, you know, hardware stores, everybody has those bundles of wood that are treated so that you can put them in your truck and drive around with them and take them to wherever you want to take them, and they're not going to be a problem. So, you know, a lot of, most every state, as far as I know, and every place that I go, they have a proviso against bring in your own firewood because they don't want the bugs and everything else that comes with that. So they have rules, and they want, if you're going to burn wood that you bring with, you should burn treated firewood. Well, we're here in Quartzsite. There's no firewood to be had unless you want to get the scrub that's off in the distance. And that stuff burns well, but that's not going to burn very long. So you need something more substantial. So I've been buying juniper. And they have pinyon, which I think is a pine, and they have pine, straight up pine. Those, they burn really fast, and it's great wood, but it burns really fast. Juniper burns slow, it smells great, and I think it's the best wood out here that you can get to burn. So I always burn juniper, and I buy 3 boxes at a time. They're pretty big boxes, and they take, I don't know, I can usually get three boxes, I can usually get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 fires out of it. But when it's cold, you burn more. So lately I've been burning through a lot of firewood. But honestly, it's $30 for 3 or 4 days. I don't really care. Because to me, again, the essence of this whole thing is having a campfire. So I do that. Now, when we have one of the big campfires where everybody kind of gathers around, there's people contributing to the wood, and then they have a ton of wood, and those fires are much bigger. And the other thing we're going to do now is, because there's so much wind, or has been a lot of wind recently, sometimes I'm talking and I'm walking into people here. We've been circling the wagons, basically. We've been circling the trucks so that we've got sort of an enclave out of the wind. And it's great because then the fire burns really hot and you don't lose all the heat. I do like burning a fire when the wind is up and it's blowing the coals and the fire gets really hot, but it doesn't last very long. So it's a good idea to circle the wagons, so to speak, which means, for people who don't know, back in the day, the pioneering days, for defensive structures, they would circle the wagons at night so that they had, for probably the same reason, you cut down on the wind, have a fire in the middle, everyone has one fire, and then, you know, they don't all have to have separate fires, they can cook collectively, and it's also defensive against, at the time, Indians. So we don't have to worry about that, but we do circle the trucks so we can cut down on the wind, and then the fire doesn't burn as fast and it burns hot, and that's great. So I don't think there's too much concern about the price of firewood. Do you feel the need to show up at these campfires? Are there times when you'd prefer to be alone and have your own, or do you find that an opportunity to save on firewood? Well, I always have my own fire, so I'll bank the fire, go over to the other fire, hang out over there, and come back. And this is an interesting question because I've done a couple podcasts about trying to organize nomads and trying to, we're going to organize this into some kind of hierarchy and we're going to all meet around the campfire and it's compulsory. I don't feel compelled to go to the campfire and I don't feel compelled to stay there. It's just an opportunity for people who want to come to the campfire and everyone's invited and hang out and get to know some people, and you develop associations. Some people you might not talk to. Some people will leave the next day. Some people are really great. That's been my experience, and I'm happy to know them and proud to know them. So I don't think anyone feels compelled to go to the campfire. We have a guy from Calgary who just goes to bed early and doesn't really prefer to go to the campfire, but he's up really early. So it's not like he doesn't want to talk to anyone. He just doesn't particularly want to go to the campfire, and he has his own reasons, and that's fine. Nobody cares. You know, nobody's going to castigate somebody and say, why didn't you come to the campfire? Although I did. And he was like, well, because yada, yada, yada. So, no, I don't feel compelled to go to the campfire. And a lot of times I'll go to the main campfire, hang out. Maybe there's something to eat. Maybe there isn't. If there's a campfire that night. By the way, these are Campo's campfires. She doesn't do this every night. She does it every now and then. It's not that big of a deal. We did it Christmas Eve. I guess we're going to do it again New Year's Eve. It's kind of cool. There's other people doing it down the way, I'm sure. Then I have my own fire. And I come back to my own fire after their fire. And if it's not too cold out there, and it hasn't really been that cold, but, you know, I'll clarify that towards the end of the podcast. And I'll just sit in front of my own fire. Oh, yeah. Another question regarding the showers. You know, what's the most expensive shower? The most expensive shower you can take is a truck stop shower. That's like $14. And the price has been going up. But here's the thing about a truck stop shower. So when you're traveling, you go into a truck stop, and I'll just speak for myself. And it doesn't matter what the company is. Some companies are better at cleaning the bathrooms than others. But these truck stops are so busy and so many different people from different places. I would prefer not to use the truck stop bathroom if I can avoid it. And I don't have a bathroom in my vehicle, so when I'm traveling, there's the option. So if I decide to take a shower and you pay $14 for the truck stop shower, you also get a very clean bathroom to yourself. So you can do what you do and then take a shower, and so you've got the whole thing in one mix. That's the value of the truck stop shower, especially when you're traveling. As far as the $10 shower, these are great showers. They're really clean, but they don't have a toilet in. Now, they have a toilet, but it's a public toilet, so, you know, no big deal, but the actual shower is just fine, and for $10, I'll take it. Now, you don't do this. I don't do this every day because that would be, you know, whatever, $300 a month to take showers. I'm not doing that. So I don't take, no one takes a shower every day, but it's the desert. So, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's no real humidity out here. You don't sweat, and you get dirty, but it's over a longer period of time. So not everyone, men and women, don't take showers as much. And then some people have showers in their RV, so they just take a shower in their RV. But eventually they got to empty those tanks, and then they got to refill them, and then that costs money. And so there's all these little things that do cost money. So basically, $10 every 2 or 3 days, well, that's not that big of a deal. I prefer the $10 shower. And really, if I can do my laundry at the same time, it's even better. Right? More questions in the second half of this podcast, podcast 1033, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard me talking about BU Enterprises. This is the company that uses Zoom or any other kind of conferencing platform to help you be you. Because the thing is, these days, especially with the whole COVID thing, people are either stuck in their houses, or they're stuck at a desk, or they're stuck in a van, right? And they don't move. They're not getting an exercise. I would love to go out there and do yoga right now, but it's just too cold. You know, I'll just hurt myself. So I have to wait for it to warm up to do any yoga outside. And this is where BU comes in. So Julia, the woman behind BU Enterprises, did a video conference with me, and she showed me some exercises I can do right here in the truck. And it's great. Just basic stretches and things like that. And it makes a huge difference. So here's the deal. You can get up and move regardless of where you are all day long. And the great thing is, nobody's going to have to see what you're doing. You don't have to be Mr. and Mrs. Exercise to make it happen. And it's great. You can be grounded, be centered, be calm, be stronger, be free, and be you. Lots of packages that are really affordable for you or for your whole team, whether it's your family or your husband or people that you work with. Visit BUEnterprises.com for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So I've been answering some questions that people ask. My friend Don Anger in Texas in the oil fields has sort of assembled some questions. But these are also questions people ask all the time, aside from the usual, how do you do it? You know, how do you cook meals? And I cook on the fire every night. That's why I have a fire. And I usually use an iron skillet, and I can make chicken, or I can make a steak. I can do broccoli. I also have I have two stoves. I have a full-on camp stove, propane, which has two burners. And I find that one just a pain in the ass to get out and set up. And then they get really dirty. And I hate that. And it's really hard to keep them clean. They get greasy. And for some reason, this is just a Coleman straight-up camp stove. I just find them hard to clean in this environment. So if I've been using it, then when I get to a campground that has hot water and I'm hooked up to electricity, yada, 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 you know, I'll also clean the camp stove. I also have one of these little caterers, single burner, and that thing is great. I use that all the time. So if I'm going to have a steak and broccoli, usually I will, lately, you know what I've been doing is taking the iron skillet and just putting some water in it, boiling the water over the fire, throwing the broccoli in, stirring it around a couple times, take the steak off, put the steak on the plate, pour the broccoli on after I dump the water, and, you know, gonna have a salad or whatever. So I eat over the fire every night. Now, if it's raining, if it's real windy, I'll have one of those camp meals that you use the jet boil for, where you boil water and you put the water in the packet and let it sit for 5 minutes, open it up, stir, let it sit for another 5 minutes, and then have that. Those are pretty good, but they have a lot of carbs and salt. When you're just eating straight up broccoli, salad, steak, broccoli, salad, chicken breasts, then it's no big deal. Also have a Dutch oven, which my friend Steve gave me, that actually we used in Boy Scouts. So it's got some history to it. And you wouldn't believe what you can cook with a Dutch oven if you understand how to use it. You can bury them in the coals, but I've since learned from a friend of a friend that there's a certain way that you can lay out the coals, and then a certain number of coals you put on top of the Dutch oven, and it will function better than an oven. So you can cook cakes in there, you can cook biscuits, you can cook stews, whatever you want. So like I said, I always have a campfire. Do you find the opportunity to save on firewood? No, you just gotta pay the price, whatever it is. And there's differences in quality. I found a good guy. There are other guys in Quartzsite that people go to. Sometimes you can get juniper, but it's not the same juniper as these folks at this other place I go to. So I'm happy with my supplier of wood at this point. Of the people you're running into, are they former military, retired, old people, young people, men, women? How are these people buying their supplies? Are they all retired? Do they go into local towns and grab a job to earn money for a while? Okay. There's a lot to this. And I want to say a couple things. Because when it comes to the nomad quote-unquote movement, and if you've been listening to the podcast, you know how I feel about that. The beauty of this is the anarchy of it. You come and go as you please. You do what you want. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to be a certain thing. You don't have to have an expensive RV. I will tell you that some people think that this is a bunch of homeless people. There's a lot of money out here. There's a lot of people with very expensive RVs, whether they are the vans. Some of those vans are, I think the Revel, it's called a Revel, is like $190,000. And that's what do they call that van? It's got the high top thing. And then there are other... I saw a couple of coaches come in here that had to be at least $500,000 apiece, and they were towing brand new cars. So there's a lot of money out here and a lot of people with money who are doing this. Some of them are retired. I met a guy from Minnesota who retired. I talked about that in one of the podcasts. He's retired. And then there are people who have decided to do this because they are sick and tired of having to stop at crosswalks, you know, worry about what the community's going to do. One of the big things that I hear a lot are these condo associations that have rules about... I got to talk quietly because I don't want to quote-unquote offend anyone, but that have these rules about what you're supposed to do and how you can do it, whether you can fly your flag and what flag you fly and blah, 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 blah. We got Trumpers out here. We got left-wingers out here. We've got all God's people out here. We've got religious people. We've got non-religious people. We've got retirees. We've got a lot, surprisingly, a lot of women. And there's a couple of things. There's a thing called a caravan. There are a few of these caravans or rallies where, just like with motorcycles, you know, people have a certain type of RV and they'll have rallies. There's a Schooley rally. There's a big thing downtown in Quartzsite, I think next week, which is the, I think they call it RTR. I have no idea what it stands for, but it's a bunch of these people who follow one of these YouTube guys and they get together in Quartzsite and, you know, they, some of those people are living in their cars. I don't recommend that. I think telling people to live in their cars is not very, is not a good thing. You can live in your car, but it's not a good idea. It's not optimal. You have to have some kind of structure where you can sort of stretch out and have room to store the things that you need. And I'm learning more and more. One of my friends, Steve, said a long time ago that creature comforts really come into value. So you got to think about what creature comforts you want and where to put them. And it, like chairs, you know, when you're going to sit out for a long period of time. I found a chair in Death Valley. Now I know why they left it there, because you sit down in this thing and getting out of it is quite a chore for anyone. But I got a chair. Now, I could go buy one, but why buy one when I found one, right? But creature comforts come into, are really valuable. Refrigerators instead of coolers. But then, you know, there's a trade-off, because you have to run all that stuff on electricity, and do you have enough batteries? And solar is a huge luxury for a lot of people. And because it enables. And then there's, so when we sit around and we talk, we've got all these people from different walks of life, different levels of income, and some of them are broke and some of them aren't, and some of them have more money and some of them don't. And our conversations are about, well, how much solar do you need and what kind of inverter, how much of an inverter. I mean, I've learned a ton about how you're supposed to set this up if you have solar. My solution was just to get the portable kind, that 120p panel that you open up and plug into your battery, and let's let bygones be bygones. It's doing the job, so I don't worry too much about it. But we talk a lot about that kind of stuff and how old somebody's rig is and if it's rusted and what do they do. And there's a lot of exchanging information, which is one of the things that I think makes these fires important, is you get to know people, and then some people are more knowledgeable than others on certain things. And also, some people have different styles and approaches to this stuff than others. And, you know, depending on personality, sometimes it can be hard to listen to somebody who's telling you what you should do, because we all do that. And I try not to pass judgment on whether somebody's doing this or that or the other thing, but I will draw the line at living in your car. There's a guy down the road living in a Lincoln Continental, and I was talking about it around the fire. I was like, hey, this dude is living in a Lincoln, in like an 83 Lincoln town car. And one of the people here, she has a van, Joe. She goes, I know that guy. I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, he helped me build these racks on top of my van so I can carry some extra stuff. And I was like, wow. She goes, really great guy. I was like, how long has he lived in his car? And she goes, he's been out there for years living in that car. So, yeah, all kinds of people and living on all kinds of things. As far as former military retired, you know, my experience has been with people who are retired, former military or not, they have a little more resources than what people think. And most of them have, there's a lot of RVs that are from 2008, 1996, 2007, 2004, that are, you know, they only have 15, 20, 80, you know, 60,000 or 30,000 miles on them. I mean, a lot of these, I think that if you found one with, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find one with 80. Most of them don't have that much mileage, especially if the people that owned them back in 2006 were old to begin with. So you see a lot of former military they go out and they do their research and they find, you know, one of these big Class A RVs, or they find a fifth wheel and they get a good deal on it. Somebody I know in Quartzsite just bought a fifth wheel and like a 2007 Ram dually with a Cummins, diesel in it, and got a great price on the whole package because the guy had just died and he was meticulous in maintaining this thing. And so, you know, they've got that now, and you would never know. So somebody with very low resources, if they're careful with their money and if they shop, they can end up with a pretty nice rig. Now, my experience also has been that the problem with the big rigs is that, and when I say big rigs, I don't mean semis, I mean these fifth wheels and Class A's, they have a lot of systems. Aside from mechanical stuff, any old vehicle, you're going to have all kinds of bizarre problems, rust, mechanical issues every now and then that have to get fixed. The big Class A's have a lot of systems, and those systems go bad. The whip, for example, there were some people over with some Class C's across the way, and they were right in the wind this weekend, we have very high winds lately, and it kept blowing her propane, both of them, it kept blowing their propane out. So there's a guy in a trailer, and then there was a woman in a Class C, and she's like probably in her 70s, and she had just retired. So she worked for the phone company, then she worked for insurance companies, and then she bought the RV and kept it in storage until she was ready, and now she's got this pretty nice RV, but I don't think she's hurting for cash. But the wind kept blowing out the propane, and so they had to figure that out. So when you have a big RV, you have lots of systems. I like Mobile Podcast Command because I don't have a lot of systems, and it's simple. I use a cooler. I don't have a refrigerator. My systems, my communication systems are the only complicated systems that I have, and my audio equipment, for the most part, it's pretty basic, and it serves its purpose. But remember, I'm cooking over a campfire, right? I don't have a kitchen. I don't have any of that stuff. So if you have those things, it's great, but guess what? The sink's going to leak. The propane that runs the refrigerator might run, and the electrical switches that run all that stuff could run your batteries down. You have weird inverters and things. You got to figure out how much, if you're going to add solar, which wasn't on those to begin with, you got to figure out how to put it in, and on and on and on. I ran into a retired Air Force person. She was an IT person, and she had a 2019 short 26 foot Class A, and that one had updated, and it had solar, and it had everything that was new then, so that's pretty new. One of the questions Don asked was, how are these people buying their supplies? You know, do they support themselves like I'm doing with the podcast, or do they go into town to get jobs and things like that? Yeah, I think there's a fair number of people that do get jobs, especially at a place like Quartzsite, which goes from being about 1,200 people during the year to probably 50, 60,000. I mean, there's a ton of people here. Do people go into local towns and get jobs? I guess. I mean, sometimes when I talk to people in the stores, they talk about how they live in an RV too, so I don't know. I would assume that if they come down here every year, eventually they're going to go, hey, you know, do you need any help? And everyone needs help. All the stores need help because there's just so many people coming in. And it's very busy here in town at the Coyote, at the Roadrunner, the truck stops. You know, it's funny because I don't think a lot about it because I'm supporting myself with the podcast, which some months are better than others. But as far as many people doing that, yeah, there's some YouTubers, and I don't know if they're monetized. My sense is a lot of the YouTubers that are doing stuff out here or anywhere with the Nomad thing are probably not monetized. And if they are, they're not monetized to a high degree. There are people who are making a lot of money, but they have, and this I learned when I went to the RV Entrepreneur Summit, they have bigger businesses. You know, they have businesses that support the RV, and I'm not sure which came first. Some started out doing the Nomad thing, and then they started a business, and, you know, every kind of people that you can imagine are out here. There's no rules to this. So people say, well, you know, what do I need to do it? Well, I don't recommend you do it in a car, but ask the guy in the town car what he thinks, because Joe said, oh, he loves it. So what do I know, right? If you have a van, it's nice to be able to stand up in the van. If you don't mind cooking over a campfire, well, good, you know. If you want a big RV, go get one if you really want to do this. There's one final question, which is how many of these people have houses and headquarters back in wherever? Well, you know, the Campos lives in Ohio. She does this for this season, and then she goes home. So a lot of people have, they're doing this part-time, quote-unquote. And there's a whole full-time, part-time thing. Well, we're doing this full-time. And then there's just straight-up nomads. So that's kind of where I put myself. My people are the nomad people. My people are the people that struggle with resources a little bit, and we're out here sort of hard scrabbling, and we're out here all the time, full time. What would a Bob Davis podcast be without the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in South Minneapolis sponsoring? And that is why I love 36th and Lynn. Been going there for years when I lived in Minneapolis. They are definitely on a tear to help the community, but the secret sauce with 36 Lynn, as I've often said, is the store. They have a lot of great locally sourced products, from great coffee to things that I like burritos and candy and other awesome food to go. So the cool thing about community-focused refueling stations is that they get a better deal on fuel, and that's so important these days, and they pass it on to customers, which is one of the reasons 36 and Lynn is busy. So the next time you're rolling through Minneapolis, you need gas or a cup of coffee or, you know, like a Snickers bar. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So I have a final disclaimer at the close, and that is that I am not an authority on the whole nomad experience. I'm doing it. I've been doing it for a year, and what I'm doing right now, sitting here in the desert, is just kind of resetting and figuring out how I want to do what I'm doing over the next year, because I'm fully committed to doing this and continuing to do this. I just love it. It's a great experience, and I can't imagine not going back to regular life. I mean, if I was going to do anything, I'd live in a place like Quartzsite, but there's many more places like this. There are many more places where nomads congregate, and there are many more places where I can just hang out and get to know a town or place, and there's so many that I have seen in my gallivanting travels across the country at various times. So I'm pretty excited about continuing to do that, but doing it at a slower pace with a little bit more intention than I have. And again, the disclaimer is, I'm not an authority. I don't know all the answers. I don't pretend to know all the answers. But I am enjoying doing this, and obviously after doing it for several years before making a full commitment to it full time, I have some observations that I think are valuable just based on experience, and you hear them every now and then, and you just heard some more, right? And thanks, Don Anger, for these questions from you and the guys, and Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to podcast 1033, the Bob Davis Podcast, answering some questions. So I got all my laundry in a big pile. I'm ready to go. Put it in. It's all folded up. I'm going to take it out of the building and head back out to Mobile Podcast Command. Thanks for listening. Podcast 1033, answering some questions. The Bob Davis Podcasts.